Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
The so-called Day of Departure is underway in Egypt. A missing woman is found dead in a construction pit near Salem, and the unemployment rate falls, but so what?
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, steel yourselves for Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, February 4th, 2011. Hundreds of thousands of Egyptians returned to Tahrir Square today for a day of departure intended to pressure President Hosni Mubarak into stepping down, according to the New York Times. Unlike previous days, however, the mood was different. So far, the demonstration has been peaceful, with protesters chanting anti-Mubarak slogans and some people bringing picnic baskets in anticipation of staying overnight. On the 11th day of protests, and demonstrators also gathered in Giza and Alexandria, where Al Jazeera reports that an ocean of people have, quote, literally taken over the area that is by the library, the universities, and the commercial center, and refused to leave until Mubarak resigns.
I wonder if there's some sort of like a zany Syrian morning show hosted by a guy named Al Jazeera.
I thought you were going to say a zany morning show that's covering the demonstrations,
no.
Doing their wacky morning show hijinks live here at the protests, you know, and talking to people who have zany things on their heads.
Maybe.
And doing contests and seeing how many, like, marshmallows a guy can fit into his mouth while he's waiting for Mubarak to resign.
And this man will fit 17 baklava in ass for concert tickets.
Although uniformed police have largely disappeared from the streets since last week's protest, the New York Times says that the fighting has largely shifted towards Mubarak loyalists. Al Jazeera adds that about 400 government supporters have assembled near Tahrir Square, and a short standoff took place this morning between about 300 supporters and protesters on a road leading to the main protest site. Meanwhile, an Obama administration national security official warns the situation in Egypt could turn, quote, really ugly.
Really?
In the next day or two.
That's the clinical term.
That's the official political term for it. Really ugly. That's a military strategist talking. Meantime, former Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns says it's best if Egypt's president departs sooner rather than later.
Frankly, I think President Mubarak needs to leave office and hand over affairs to a caretaker government.
Burns says there's a good reason for the U.S. to be worried about Egypt's future.
It's peace with Israel. It helps us against Al-Qaeda. It keeps the Suez Canal open. It helps us to block Iran.
Al Jazeera and Al-Qaeda could do the show together. And now with the weather, here's Al-Qaeda.
There are still crackdowns on foreign reporters. Al Jazeera announced this morning its Cairo office had been stormed by a gang of thugs.
Dead enders.
In a statement, they said the office has been burned along with the equipment inside it. On Thursday, Mubarak told ABC News he'd like to step down, but if he did, Egypt would sink into chaos.
Oh, man, that's great. How fantastic is that?
I can't leave. Everything would go to hell.
What a great little piece of circular logic that is. That is akin to killing your parents and then throwing yourself in the mercy of the court because you're an orphan. I mean, that really is... That's chutzpah incarnate. Well done.
Oh, and one high-ranking Egyptian official said that America should stop meddling in Egypt's stuff. The man told the New York Times, and this is a direct quote, they should mind their own business.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, we'll get right on that. Because you seem to be handling the country so well by yourself. Mm. All right, here's Don Taylor.
The Oregon Humane Society put up 29 popular small breed dogs and several exotic cats from a breeder in southern Oregon for adoption yesterday. The dog breeds include West Highland White Terriers, miniature Schnauzers, Dachshunds, a French Bulldog Boston Terrier mix, and more. Most of the dogs are about 4 years old. The nine cats include 3 Abyssinians, 1 Bengal, and 4 Asa cats. The Humane Society said the breeder voluntarily surrendered 84 dogs over the past year and was no longer in business.
You can't just say Asa cat and then not stop and go, what the hell is that? Is that an ocelot?
I don't know if they're a cross between an ocelot and a cat, or if they're just cats that they're spotted so they look kind of like ocelots.
Also, what is an ocelot?
It's a small
don't
wild
say it's like
cat.
A cat.
It is. It's a small wild cat.
Is it a bit?
It's kind of leopardy looking, but it's also kind of bobcatty looking. It's a small wild cat.
Okay. You just did like a perfect little Gilbert and Sullivan thing there, where you did the first two lines and then you did a long third line and then you came back and it's a small wild cat. Dun dun.
I polished up the handle so carefully that now I have the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
Well done.
Thank you. Medford police have arrested a man accused of exposing himself in a mall parking lot. Police say 19-year-old Lance Tosaga got out of his parked car at the Rogue Valley Mall on Monday, verbally confronted 2 adult women. He was naked and openly masturbating.
Openly masturbating.
Officers said the women ran back inside the mall and called for help. When officers responded, the suspect left the scene. Police used a description of the suspect's car to track him down at Southern Oregon University, where he is a student. He has been arrested on a charge of indecent exposure, and Medford police say their investigation also showed he may have been involved in a similar unreported incident at the Bear Creek Shopping Center. They're asking for the victim in that crime to come forward. So, 19-year-old student, Southern Oregon University, apparently likes to go to the mall, get naked in his car in the parking lot, and then jump out masturbating.
Well, the mall really is, it's a multi-purpose facility, though. One likes to think that one can do anything there, whether it's shopping, whether it's eating, whether it's time with your family, or whether it's waving your tackle about to the horror of passersby.
And I suppose if you want to, wave your tackle at passersby, and you're thinking, where will I find ladies, ladies,
really,
to jump out at while I am openly masturbating, I'll go to the mall.
You just set your GPS for Bath & Body Works and just head that way. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, February 4th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, you got your entertainment news, also Science on the March. Don't forget, if you want to get this program later on via iTunes, you can do that as well as getting it as a direct MP3 download here. Or at legionofnews.com. You can also get it on your mobile device. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
Was it on this show yesterday we were talking about Redbox?
Yes, it was.
Someone did email me to give me the lowdown on whether or not you will be charged for a movie if you keep it too long. Apparently, yes, they charge you the nightly fee plus tax, although I don't believe they charge tax here in Oregon. It's like $1 a day for the movie. You have 25 days to return the movie before the system will automatically charge you the purchase price, which is $25 plus tax for standard DVDs or $35 plus tax for Blu-ray discs. Of course, at that point, you've already paid $25 for it because you've been charged $1 a day.
Well, but then it's an additional $25 on top of it. So they charge you the rental, and then they say, hey, you've rented it for 25 days. Now you're switching to ownership mode.
So it's going to cost you $50.
So that explains why Tim Riley said that he had been hit for like $65 or whatever, because this would have been about that. It would have been $50 and then probably not taxed, but still. Yeah, because I think he must have said it at some point. In fact, you know, I guess it would be legally required to. But he was, I think, operating under the assumption that it was just sort of like a Blockbuster thing or like a Netflix deal where you could just sort of keep it. Because Blockbuster themselves got hit for that. Because in the wake of the rise of Netflix, Blockbuster switched to this business of you could rent the thing and you could keep it as long as you wanted, except that it wasn't really for as long as you wanted. It was like, I don't know, it was like 17 days or something. But they said the elimination of late fees may not actually be the elimination of late fees. And then there was a little asterisk that explained that if you had it more than, I think, 3 weeks, that they would then kick up, they would go back to 99 cents a day or whatever it was. And so Redbox apparently was sort of doing the same thing in that they didn't really draw attention to the fact that after like a month or something, you would basically be the owner of, insert terrible film here. So.
Well, okay. There is good news and bad news from January's jobs report. The good news is that unemployment fell to 9% last month, which is a 2-year low. And the bad news is that the job creation has stagnated, dropping to a 4-month low as the economy generated only 36,000 new jobs. So the bad news about the good news is that the unemployment fell partly because more people gave up looking for work.
I was just going to ask, if we created 36,000 new jobs, that the unemployment could actually not have fallen. Which is the unemployment is down, or the jobs are, something's down and something's up.
Yeah, the amount of people we're paying unemployment to is down.
Down.
Which we always say, unemployment's down, that means less people are unemployed. No. No, what that means is less people are
fewer,
you know,
people.
Fewer people, yeah, are actually, you know. So, yes, because the number of unemployed people dropped by 600,000, with 2.8 million people saying they've just stopped trying.
Well, we should find a different way to phrase that then. Because I'm not trying to, it's not like I don't think like in that story they're deliberately trying to be deceptive. It's just that there's no different term for it.
Yeah.
Because there's people who are unemployed, there's people who are trying to find jobs and can't find them. There are people who are unemployed and not trying to find jobs. There are people who are receiving unemployment benefits. There are people who have stopped receiving unemployment benefits and are partially employed. And then there are people who have just been out of the system so long now that they just are not, they're getting dick.
Right.
That's what the number of people receiving dick this week.
The dick report says.
Byron's never gotten off that list. Hey-o!
Whoa!
I'm Al Jazeera. Coming up later on, we have sports.
Oh, so analysts say, guess why the new job creation is so low? Why would you think that maybe...
Is it because of communists? Activist court?
Now,
gays.
A lot of it is weather.
No, really. No, seriously.
Well, seriously, the weather is so horrible across most of the country that there's nothing new coming up in the construction sector. And you've got a lot of like small businesses and big businesses, too, that would be, you know, maybe adding jobs, hiring people. But they're all just battening down the hatches and trying to get through blizzards.
No, that's true. I guess we've been sort of shielded from that. I mean, you sort of see it on the news and then you kind of forget about it because here it's, you know, oh, it's 39 degrees. It's so cold. But I was actually reflecting on this the other day. Did you see that photo from Chicago? It was sort of the one photo that everybody seized on as a depiction of the weather this year. I'll find it and I'll send it to you. It's amazing. It is just this, I don't know what the main highway is that goes through Chicago, but it looks like that promotional image for Walking Dead, where it is a shot of the city, presumably L.A., I think, from far away, and it's Rick on the horse.
Yeah.
Going into, and it's just cars. It's like this graveyard of cars. It's like that in Chicago, but it's like the main highway, and it's cars that have actually stopped and been frozen over and snowed on by layers of ice, where people just got out and left. They were to F this, and they all just started walking off the highway one way or the other to get home. But I was actually reflecting the other day that I know a fair number of people on the East Coast, and I was actually surprised that I was still hearing from them, although I guess people are, you know, working from home or they telecommute or whatever the hell you call it now. But I guess that would actually have a huge effect because there's no jobs doing anything except removing snow.
Yeah.
And clearly, like, even in New York, they're not even really able to do that. So.
And in a lot of cases, businesses just aren't even open for business. They're just, just stay home. Mm. What are you going to do? Speaking of the weather, as we are, there's some fairly drastic weather going on right now in Texas, which, of course, is the state that's getting ready to host this year's Super Bowl. Mayor Robert Kluck says getting around hasn't been easy.
The thing that really hurt us was the ice, you know, the sleet. And most of the roads, which are now basically clear, but for 2 to 3 days, they were totally glazed over with ice.
This is another one of the things where my sense of geography and climatology just fail me altogether, because it just seems like Texas should be fundamentally incapable of receiving ice or snow, but maybe
and,
not.
Well, and parts of Texas are mountainous, and there are great plains. Texas is very, very large, and so they have everything from like the sort of desert stuff down by the Gulf of Mexico all the way up, you know, into the Panhandle, which is where they get some fairly severe winters. Because, you know, part of Texas, you know, borders Oklahoma, and Oklahoma, as you know, gets tornadoes and blizzards and all kinds of horrible
stuff. It's nice of you to assume knowledge on my part. That's really, it must be opposite day, because really nobody ever does that. Everybody, it's
you
usually
just go along with it. You could go, oh, yes, that's right. Texas and Oklahoma are next door to each other.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm assuming that Oklahoma gets tornadoes. It just seems like one of those places that probably does. Not unlike Alabama, but I couldn't really tell you why or if that's actually provably true in any way.
It's because they have a lot of trailers.
God hates trailers.
Right. Tornadoes are natural enemies of trailers.
Somebody suggested that we simply call the people who are not receiving unemployment benefits anymore quitters.
There we go.
Just seize right on that.
Oh, by the way, at the end of that story, this is heartening. In total, this report that the New York Times covered, in total, since the recession began, the economy has lost 8.75 million jobs. That's how many we're still down.
I'm toying with whether, and I know that I've interrupted, what is it, Robert Kluck? What's his name?
Yes, Robert Kluck.
Wow, why do I know that? That's bizarre. I don't even know what an ocelot is.
Well, it has only been like a minute and a half.
Okay, well, that's a fair point. I'm toying with whether or not to read this comment about the comment about jobs.
Go ahead. Let's go for it. Okay. We're all over the place today anyway.
No. It's not because of that. It's not like I'm worried about getting us off course. What do you No, it's like, it's just one of those things that I... It has been observed by, so someone says, this has a lot to do with people being, this is referring to the number of jobs and people who are being kicked off unemployment rolls. Said, this has a lot to do with people being stubborn and not wanting to do something that isn't the job they hoped for. Classified section has jobs in it every single day. It's never, ever empty. Go get a job.
So there is that.
So,
to
by
a
the way,
extent,
the go get a job is a separate comment from someone else that I have tacked onto the end of that. So those are actually two I've conflated together. And then he notes, it sounded like you said Texas should be incapable of receiving ass. Lol.
Okay.
No one's capable of receiving ass, sir. That's a country I don't want to live in.
Well, Robert Kluck, who is from Texas.
Of the Panhandle Klucks.
He says that this weather has taken a financial toll on his city.
About $150,000. Yeah, we're in the hole. And we're trying to fix it because we have a Super Bowl coming in 2 days.
I think you mean the big game, Robert Kluck.
The big game.
That's right.
I completely forgot, like, for... Doesn't it seem like football should be done by now?
Do you mean...
How is it still happening?
You mean altogether, forever?
Is this it? For the rest of the year? Is this, like, the end of football now, finally?
Well, it's not really the end of football.
I mean
it's,
until,
we're taking a break, I think, after the Super Bowl.
Or
yes.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It runs the same time every year.
I know. I always think, like, New Year's Day. They have all those bowl games on New Year's Day. And then we had, like, the bowl game with the guys who won the bowl games.
But that was college.
All right.
Even I know that. Come on, Don.
And then all of a sudden it's like the big game. I was like, really? There's still a big game?
No, here's why you got to keep track of it. You got to keep track of when the Super Bowl happens because, A, if you want to buy snack foods of any variety, especially the kind that you use to scoop up other snack foods, this is the time you do that. It's really, if you find yourself saying like, well, I only wish to buy Tostitos once a year, when shall I do that? This is the time to do it. Second, yes.
Oh, no, nothing.
You did that thing again.
Nothing. I'm just annoyed about
something.
The thing
of, like, preparing rebuttal.
No, it's not even rebuttal. My brain just reminded me of something I'm annoyed about.
Okay.
And I just got all huffy inside my own head.
Odds makers take a beating. So there's snack, but plus also, if you want to go see, like, the other thing about Super Bowl Sunday, and I really mean this sincerely, even if you're not a sports fan, here's why you need to care about it. Because If you want to go or anywhere or do anything, Sunday is the time to do it. If you want to go to a movie, Sunday. You want to go shopping, Sunday. You want to go to any sort of like a family fun center or a recreational facility of any kind, Sunday is the day to do it because everybody else is just sitting on their big fat American asses at home watching the game.
That'd be a good day to go miniature golfing.
That's
example.
What I'm saying. Anytime that you, any place that you would normally go except you'd be turned away by the crowds, Super Bowl Sunday is the best ever day to go do that. That is always it.
I'll go to the zoo.
When I was a younger person, people used to go watch movies projected through pieces of plastic onto sheets that were hung on the wall. And when I used to do that, I would actually go and I'd catch like 3-4 movies in a row back to back because you could just go and the theaters would be empty all day long, it was like your own personal living room. So I strongly recommend that.
My observation, the thing that annoyed me in my head a minute ago that I was reminded of is for a long time, for the last maybe 10 years, there's been this tradition that many companies would debut their new commercials during the Super Bowl. So for people like myself who don't really care that much about football, one thing, I bemoan now the death of Bud Bowl. I loved Bud Bowl, and now there's no more Bud Bowl.
No, but there's still the Kitten Bowl, isn't there?
See, yeah, Puppy Bowl.
Is it Kitten Bowl or Puppy Bowl?
No, it's Puppy Bowl on Animal Planet.
Right.
So, but they have a kitten halftime show. But the commercials, because, you know, I am a fan of the art of advertising, and so I'd watch the commercial. But the thing is, I realize advertisers, the idea is you just want people to see your ad. You want as many people to see your ads. But now that the whole excitement about, like, the Super Bowl ads has come out, now people, they're leaking and debuting their new commercials days or, like, in the weeks before the Super Bowl. And then Hulu has a whole thing where you can just watch all of the commercials on Hulu.
Right.
So you don't have to watch the football game anymore. And so now I feel like, well, doesn't that kind of negate the whole point of spending $70 gazillion to run your ad for the very first time during the Super Bowl?
Well, except that most people aren't watching them on Hulu. I mean, Hulu is still a thing; it's not watched by the vast majority of Americans. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't a lot of people who watch it, but as many people who watch something on Hulu, that's still like 7% of the viewing population, which means 93% of the viewing population is still going to watch it during Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, I'm not going to watch it during Super Bowl Sunday, but I'm also not the typical television viewer in some ways, in that I have in the last 2 or 3 years, I've reached some sort of a saturation point in my own head where I find it incapable, I find myself incapable of caring about the Super Bowl commercials to the extent that I used to, because it's like because it seemed like for a while, I'm not saying that advertising, that it happened totally organically. I mean, I guess it's impossible in this sense that advertising by definition is there to be noticed and it's there for you to, you know, it's there to be paid attention to and it's there to, you know, to register with you so that it affects you and so that you, you know, are in some way persuaded to buy their products or sample their service or buy their car or whatever. But the idea that Super Bowl Sunday was this sort of zenith, that it was this mecca for all of the commercial ad where they poured the cream of their talent and all of their production value into the commercials that aired on this one day, that was a thing that sort of happened without a lot of fanfare, if you know what I mean. In other words, that itself wasn't a story for a long time. It was the case. It was happening. But the media didn't treat it as its own separate sidebar event. And then about 12 or 15 years ago, because they just are constantly churning. I mean, you know how it is in media. You always need new material. You know, you always get something to report. What's the new angle on the story? You know, angle on the game this year. And so then the angle became, hey, we could talk about the fact that they always put all those great commercials on during the Super Bowl. And Budweiser were the ones who were at the forefront of this because they, I think they kind of raised the bar early on for Super Bowl commercials in quality and in the sort of imagination that they would put into them. And I did hear at one point that Budweiser, whoever it is that handles their ads, actually did have an entirely, they had like a subset inside the company, and their sole job was to work on the Super Bowl ads every year. That's how seriously they took it. So it started to become its own story, but it's like the more it becomes its own story, the less interesting it becomes in a strange way. And I don't know why that is. It's not like it's some sort of hip factor thing. Like, I don't want to watch it now because everybody's watching it, because everybody was always watching it. It's sort of like it does, in some perverse way, it kind of takes the enjoyment out of it when there is so much anticipation built up on it, you know, by the media itself. I don't know why that is.
No, I understand exactly what you're talking about.
It just, it doesn't make, I mean, I think it's sort of like the, I think it's kind of like the opening, you know, like whatever the opening sequence of the Academy Awards or something, where it sort of catches you off guard. Like, what was that? It was a couple years ago. Was it Hugh Jackman? Where they did the low-budget Oscars or whatever in, like, 2007, 2008. And Hugh Jackman came out. He did, like, that song and dance routine at the beginning. And nobody really knew what he... I don't think I'd actually heard anything about it. Nobody really spoiled it. And it was kind of great. And it was sort of legitimately charming and set a great tone for the whole thing. But then it's like some of the other years, it's like you'll hear that they've prepared some elaborate opening number and that, you know, they'll talk about the preparations that have gone into it. And it just sort of robs the thing of the excitement. I don't know why.
Well, it's the same thing with the MTV Movie Awards. There, for a few years, it was very clever. And they had people doing really just amazing, like, great, clever in-between film segments and stuff. And then they became so self-conscious about their own cleverness that it just got... ridiculously stupid.
I think maybe that's what it is. Is like, as opposed to just doing great commercials for their own sake, they started doing commercials specifically because they wanted them to be talked about the next day.
Yeah.
And not in the way that commercials traditionally are. So even that part of it has been stripped away. And plus, as you said, it's like, I think the reason the moment it really shifted for me was when we got was when TiVo came out. Because then I could watch the entire game, by which I mean watch all of the commercials I could watch it in 35 minutes. And I mean, and I got a TiVo in like 2001. So, I mean, I haven't watched a Super Bowl all the way through, you know, in over a decade. I mean, we'll do the obligatory wrap-up and whatever on Monday, but I think this is just, it's just a further splintering of the American television viewing of psyche. And, you know, the fact that we no longer watch anything at the same time as anybody else in the country.
Except for the Super Bowl. There will be people everywhere just sitting there eating their salty, fatty snacks and watching the Super Bowl in real time. And football players are crazy like that. I used to host Super Bowl people at my house every year, and people would come over and watch. And they did not want us to use the TiVo. Because you have to see it happening as it's actually happening. So there was no, like, pausing to go to the bathroom. Because now you're watching it, like, you know, 3 minutes after it actually happened.
You sound like my mother-in-law when she describes her Mexican coworkers. I mean, I've watched television with those people, and let me tell you. They don't like it when you touch the remote control. They're violent.
Football people.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program encircling the globe, 147 countries receiving our wisdom and amusement at the really by force if necessary. That is coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. No, it's not a rerun. It's just another penis watch today. We've got a monkey watch, corpse watch, and penis watch. And Don was a great pain.
Awesome penis watch.
And you were at pains to note. Because the watches on the board are exactly the same as they were yesterday, and sometimes we just don't get to everything. And you said, no, we actually got the yesterday's penis watch. It's just a different day, different penis, different watch, and it's fantastic.
You know what my favorite penis watches are? The ones that make you scream like a girl and cross your legs.
That's great. To where a guy is trying to have relations with a vacuum cleaner or something. Monkey watch, penis watch, corpse watch coming up next hour. Clue number 5 in the E.H. Vending Name That Snack Contest. Also, Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio with us with another installment of Humor Meet Comedy 101. Today we're talking about Mr. Flip Wilson. So that's all coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
It's time for science.
Here's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric.
Astronaut Mark Kelly, husband of Representative Gabrielle Giffords, has decided to command the final flight of Space Shuttle Endeavour in April. For a time, it was unclear whether Kelly, 46, would leave his wife to fly the mission. Giffords is recuperating in a Texas clinic after being shot during the shooting spree that killed 6 in Tucson last month. Kelly's twin brother Scott, a fellow astronaut currently commanding the International Space Station, said Wednesday that Mark Kelly was skilled at putting personal matters aside when on the job. "My brother is certainly very good at that," he told the Associated Press. "If he does choose, and NASA management chooses, for him to fly this mission, I am absolutely 100% confident he will have no problem fulfilling his responsibilities the same way as if this incident would have never occurred." Kelly and NASA plan to announce the decision at a press conference on Friday. That would be today. The April 19th flight will be Kelly's fourth trip into space. UFO enthusiasts say videos showing a shining ball of light hovering above a Jerusalem shrine could finally prove that aliens exist. The clips show a pulsating orb descend and hover above the Dome of the Rock, an ancient Islamic shrine before shooting up into the night sky. Unusually for things like this, there are clips showing the orb from different viewpoints, and you can find them on YouTube, meaning it has been more difficult than most to miss. The footage was allegedly taken in Jerusalem on Saturday morning and has spread like wildfire on the interwebs. It was viewed by hundreds of thousands of people and prompted fierce debate among UFO enthusiasts and skeptics. Former Ministry of Defense UFO investigator Nick Pope told The Sun, "If these are real, they are some of the most incredible videos ever shot. If they are not, then this is a very well-planned and coordinated hoax designed to eliminate elements of doubt." Mr. Pope said that the way the object shot up suggested it was unmanned. "We know the Israeli army has some very high-tech drones at its disposal. If this is one, it is one of the most advanced pieces of technology created by man."
Here's the other thing we need to come up with. I think we need to phase out the term UFO at some point because it no longer means what people think it means. UFO just means you don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah, but of course, unidentified.
Yeah, I know. But you and I know that. But that's not. But you say like UFO enthusiasts, and it's just a bunch of guys going beep boop beep boop. You know, with like things on their heads.
I mean, I
don't even know what that means.
This obviously is actually a UFO because it is flying and it is unidentified.
Yes, I know, but you know that it's a loaded term.
I know. You're saying that
it's a guy in a Roswell shirt.
You think aliens in a little capsule.
You know, and it's a guy who thinks, you know, the government is covering up blah da blah da blah 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 blah. And I don't know what I meant when I said it was a guy going dee doo dee doo with things on his head. I don't know what I meant just there.
Have you ever been to the UFO festival in McMinnville?
People with dealy bobbers everywhere?
You will see those people with the dealy bobbers on their head going dee doo dee doo.
I think I'm making some sort of inadvertent Douglas Adams reference there, but I don't really know what it is.
It's kind of like a little Mork from Ork sort of a thing, too.
Yeah.
Federal officials say a shipment of bison to slaughter from Yellowstone National Park is on hold after the plan was challenged in court by wildlife advocates. Almost 400 of the animals were being held today in corrals inside the park for testing to see if they have been exposed to the disease brucellosis. Officials had planned this week to begin sending to slaughter bison that test positive. Environmental and American Indian groups on Thursday asked a federal judge in Helena, Montana, to block the shipments. Yellowstone spokesman Al Nash said no shipments are expected while the legal challenge is being reviewed. Brucellosis can cause wildlife and livestock to prematurely abort their young. About half the park's bison carry the disease, although no bison-to-cattle transmissions have been reported. Rising obesity is not just an American phenomenon anymore. According to three new studies published in the medical journal The Lancet, 1 in 10 of the world's adults is now deemed obese, and the global prevalence of obesity has nearly doubled since the 1980s. As of 2008, 9.8% of men and 13.8% of women, or 500 million adults in total, were considered obese. The reports also found that body mass index rates were highest in Pacific Island nations and among high-income countries. The U.S. had the highest BMI rate, followed by New Zealand. On a brighter note, cholesterol levels and hypertension declined in Western Europe and in the U.S., although cholesterol increased in Eastern Asia and the Pacific region.
And I would imagine that's largely because people are keeling over from obesity before they can really live long enough to have hypertension, which is a thing that my grandmother would always complain about. Right about the same time that she would say her bunions were acting up and that her elbow told her it was going to rain. So I think if you just snuff it early on, you can avoid getting a lot of those things. It's good to see that American culture is America marching across the globe, though. I mean, bringing our own brand of life, and by our own brand of life, I mean fat to other people. Because that's, in fact, weren't we just, and by we, I mean I, when I was espousing that yesterday with Anna Griffin as a way to, a way to placate our enemies, just to bring them the gift of fat and pornography?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if we just build strip malls. In every
strip clubs
in every land that opposes our policies, and just said, just give it a try for a while.
Nothing
See
that starts with strip is bad. Strip malls, yeah. Strip clubs, strip mining—it's all good.
Here you got a video store, a donut shop, and a strip club.
That's right.
Just give it a try for like a month, and then let us know if you
if
still.
You still think we're the great Satan? Then yeah. Fine, you can blow stuff up again.
Yeah. All right. That's all the science.
All right, there's your science on the march for Friday. February 4th, 2011, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them by calling 503-252-1609. You might actually want to go to the website because otherwise it's just going to be a lot of people calling the number and then asking Donna, saying, tell
me. Do
you have
electricity?
Tell me all about yourself. And then you're going to get some sort of untoward, awkward, possibly titillating answer from Donna, which, you know, is either good or bad, depending on who you are. and so forth. So they are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. That means that if you are building something from scratch, if you are creating a structure, you're creating a building, if you're going to be moving into some sort of a structure that was for a different kind of business previous, and you got to get it rewired, you got to get the rewiring done quickly, you want to get it done correctly the first time, and you don't want to have to fail some sort of inspection when the city comes by, or if you're going to be repairing something in your home, or if you just got the, you know, if you got a home you're looking at, a home you're moving into, sometimes it's not even a place you purchased. Sometimes you're looking at a home and you want to make sure that if you do move in, that you know what the costs are going to be so you don't get bitten in the ass by that right out of the gate. You have Squires Electric come out. They can actually tell you whether everything is working properly. They can tell you what it's going to take to get it working properly. And if you've got any sort of repairs, they can tell you before you get them started, before you get them done, certainly, what it's going to cost you about. You can get a free estimate up top. It's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609 or SquiresElectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. Here is Dawn Taylor with Legion of News.
Some Minnesota Girl Scouts say they will sit out an upcoming cookie sale to protest plans to sell off some of their camps. Financial pressures and declining membership have led the Girl Scouts of Minnesota and Wisconsin River Valleys Council to sell four of its 12 camps. The sales have upset a number of Girl Scouts and leaders, some of who have split off and form an opposition group. One of these leaders, Kim Zaman of Maplewood, has said her daughter and some other members of their troop won't be selling cookies when the annual sale starts Saturday and that the boycott is gaining support. National Girl Scout officials say many councils have sold off property to save money in recent years.
I hope the property's bought and turned into a gay disco.
Continuing a story that we were unable to finish yesterday. A 21-year-old man was arrested January 13th for helping his girlfriend rob her employer, the Donut Hole, according to arrest reports from the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. Lucas Marsh of Fort Walton Beach went to see his girlfriend at her work at the Donut Hole on January 9th. He bought two donuts from his girlfriend, who was working the cash register. Before he arrived at the Donut Hole, another employee had seen his girlfriend take the bank deposit bag containing 800...
Wait, hold on. Somebody has a question here. They want to know if this Girl Scout story, if this actually took place here in Portland.
No.
They're asking if this is the Multnomah County, whatever you get, the Multnomah County branch of the Girl Scouting organization.
No, that was Minneapolis. So it's in Minnesota. It was the Minnesota and Wisconsin River Valleys Council.
So this isn't the national...
No.
Is there like a, because it's a national organization.
Yeah, and the national organization has sold off some of the camps in Minnesota because I guess they're not making enough money.
Okay.
So now the Girl Scouts are, I didn't know that.
How do Girl Scouts make money other than selling cookies?
Dues and fees, really, that's pretty much it.
That's kind of it. So
I think they sell calendars, too. They make a lot of money on those damn cookies, though.
They do. I mean, the cookies are sold at a tremendous markup. Where are those made, by the way?
I remember when I was a kid.
Are they made in these United States?
Well, when I was a Girl Scout, they were made by Keebler.
I didn't know you were a Girl Scout.
I was. My mother was actually a troop leader when I was a Brownie.
I demand photos.
She was a Brownie leader. And boy, did she hate it. My mom, just imagine a much angrier Betty Draper in like a Girl Scout uniform.
It's almost hard to imagine, actually.
Yeah. Just chain smoking and going, here, just glue some sequins on these butter dish lids. And it's a craft. God
awesome.
Damn.
That's fantastic.
We're going camping. Yeah, no, she loathed it. But, yeah, no, I did that, and then I was a junior Girl Scout. I was a Girl Scout.
Does that mean that you could get replica? I'm not replicas, but you could get the Girl Scout cookies from Keebler? Are they just sold by Keebler also under a different name or something?
Well, again, they were made by Keebler when I believe they were made by Keebler when I was a kid, but then soon after, I think there are bakeries that's, like, pretty much all they do.
The Girl Scouts have their own factory somewhere?
They may very well, yeah, because they make so many of the damn things. But, you know, I don't... We went to the poker game last week, and Chris Todd was selling the campfire stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's like candied cashews or something.
Yeah, and I was saying that, you know, I don't buy the campfire stuff because there's this part of me that just sort of feels like, you know, I know how much, you know, candied cashews are supposed to cost.
Right, right.
And this is just ridiculous. On the other hand, Girl Scout cookies, that's the only place you can get Girl Scout cookies. You can't buy anything that actually is like Girl Scout cookies in the store.
If you could buy Thin Mint knockoffs somewhere,
right,
then, you know, you would. Yeah.
Nobody else sells Samoas.
No,
that's the
true.
Only place you can get them. So.
By the way, just for longtime listeners, this is not going to be a trigger where I start talking about the whole Samoa thing. It's
I hardly knew her. Oh, wait.
No. There's a whole...
My thing is I hear Samoa, and then I always think of the movie Oliver, and then I say, please, sir, can I have Samoa? And then in a gruff headmaster voice, I say, Samoa, what's a small orphan boy going to do with a South Seas island? And then I laugh to myself, and then everyone tells me to shut up.
See, I have a totally different reaction in that this is just set for demonstration purposes only. This is just to illustrate the issue. That every year, like every 6 months, it seems like this comes up because it's like I'm unclear. Do they just sell Girl Scout cookies once a year, or is it twice a year? Or is it an ongoing thing?
No, it's just once a year.
Just once a year. So it's like every year for the past like 12 years, people in Portland have had to hear me go, Samoa, what's that? And then somebody says something, and I say, well, what's a caramel delight? And somebody says, well, a caramel delight is whatever. And I say, well, I thought a caramel delight was something else. And somebody says, no, that's a tag along. And then it turns out that there are regional names for the same cookie in different places. And so the same cookie can actually be called two different things depending on where you are in the country.
Right.
Which is why, but see, first of all, it took us like 5 years to figure out that. To figure out that the same cookie could actually be called two different things depending on where you were in the country. So we spent 5 years because, of course, we would then do the other thing where we would forget everything we learned in the discussion, we would forget by the time the next year came around. So we would have the fight all over again. And because it took us 5 years to figure out that cookies could have multiple names, we spent 5 years having like an intractable land war where two people would like dig in about what the Girl Scout cookie name was. And neither of them would yield because they were both actually correct. And so then we spent the following 5 years just replicating that version of the argument because we would, again, forget about it. So I actually made a note to myself last year, like, to never again ask, what's a Samoa? I thought that's like a caramel delight. So I did like a sort of memento tying a string around my mental finger thing so I could not bring it up anymore.
Okay.
Somebody else wants to know who the hell is in the market to buy a Girl Scout camp anyway. That's a fair point.
Well, developers, and then they will plow everything down and build tracks of homes.
That'd be satisfying. I might see if I had the money, I might buy it just so I could bulldoze it. I mean, just as like a stress
reliever.
What do
you have against the Girl Scouts?
I don't know. I'm not gay, so I probably have a different perspective on the situation.
Now, here's the thing. Girl Scouts of America and Boy Scouts of America are completely different organizations. Do we know for a fact that Girl Scouts of America has the same policy?
I believe the Girl Scouts of America are also a religious organization, though.
Are they?
I could be wrong about that, but I believe they are, in fact, a religious organization. Perhaps not as overtly as the Boy Scouts. Because I think that I don't think they've had the legal attention that the Boy Scouts have had. I don't think there've been court cases involving the Girl Scouts, but I do know that the Girl Scouts were created as an offshoot of the Boy Scouts at one point.
Yeah.
So that indicates that they are at the very least a religious organization, and it seems logical that they would therefore have the same policy on the gays. But I could be wrong about that, and if I am wrong, then I will withdraw that comment.
Well, at the start of his remarks to the National Prayer Breakfast, speaking of religion, President Barack Obama asked the audience to pray for order in Egypt.
And that the rights and aspirations of the Egyptian people will be realized, and that a better day will dawn over Egypt.
Obama spoke about how much he relies on prayer when handling his daunting job.
And been reminded that God's plans for us may not always match our own short-sighted desires. And let me tell you, these past 2 years, they have deepened my faith.
Whatever. By the way,
weird moment where I thought he was going to admit something like really personal and really embarrassing when he first started saying that about his short-sighted.
And been reminded that God's plans for us may not always match our own short-sighted desires.
Just expecting him to admit that.
Let me tell.
It was really wrong of me to get this job. I have no idea what I'm doing. This country is effed. It can't be fixed by anyone.
I think something more like, you know. Well, you know, I'm glad that I'm president. I feel bad about that little lady that I left behind in Arkansas, you know, in that cheap apartment over the strip club. But but this is really more important. And so
I hit a man in Dearborn, Michigan. by the way, now I feel bad. I should actually read this. Someone, and by the way, several someones, but I'll read a representative email, says, in all caps, you goddamn bastard. Will you please finish the goddamn donut story? Have mercy, it's Friday, you bastard.
Okay.
And then there was a follow-up email that just says, goddamn you, Rick Emerson, damn you to hell. All right. It is Friday, so we'll go back and finish this.
Finish the donut
story. I won't interrupt.
Lucas Marsh of Fort Walton Beach went to see his girlfriend at her work at the donut hole on January 9th. He bought two donuts for his girlfriend, who was working the cash register. Before he arrived at the donut hole, another employee had seen his girlfriend take the bank deposit bag containing $800 and stick it in her pants. The employee called the authorities. When Marsh left the store, deputies stopped him and asked him what he had in the donut hole bag he was carrying. He said he had purchased two donuts. When deputies searched the bag, they found the bank bag with $685 in it. Marsh was arrested a few days later and charged with grand theft after admitting to deputies that he and his girlfriend had planned to rob the donut hole to pay their bills.
There you go. Do you feel satisfied? Do you feel like your mental itch has been scratched?
All right.
There you go.
Never say that Rick Emerson never did anything nice for you. It is Friday. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today we'll have Mr. Big Jim Willig in the studio today. Be talking about the art and career of Mr. Flip Wilson. That's today's installment of Humor Me Comedy 101. Also, Monkey Watch, Penis Watch, Corpse Watch. And we have a listener-submitted top five. Listener Jerry submitted a top five. We may or may not get to it. The top five makeout songs from his high school life. That's coming up next hour. Don't forget, next week on the Rick Emerson Show, Tuesday, we're talking to Ms. Joelle Carter, and she plays Ava Crowder on the FX series Justified, which is, I'm doing everything with that accent today, Justified, which is coming back, I believe, next month on FX. So Joelle Carter from the TV show Justified coming up next Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news. Somebody says, you know, this donut story is full of holes, Don.
Yeah. French actress Maria Schneider, best known for her work in the films Last Tango in Paris and The Passenger, died Thursday morning in Paris after a long battle with cancer. The 58-year-old's acting career dramatically waned after her work in The Passenger, as she never fulfilled the promise of her early days. She was 19 when Bernardo Bertolucci cast her as Jean in The Last Tango in Paris, a role that she said made her go mad. She told the Daily Mail in 2007 that she felt a little raped, both by Marlon Brando and by Bertolucci.
I don't think you can be a little raped.
And that she felt manipulated into and humiliated by the film's sexual content. After that, she made The Passenger with Jack Nicholson and appeared in 1996's Jane Eyre, as well as amassing nearly 50 other film roles. According to his publicist, Charlie Sheen hopes to return to work on Two and a Half Men later this month. Production on the show stopped after he sought treatment for his later bouts with addiction. Just 16 of the episodes, 24 episodes have been shot, and the last two unaired episodes will air on CBS February 7th and 14th.
Now, did you see the claim by a friend of his about why he's in the hospital? Because wasn't it Sheen himself who, like, he sent some Twitter or something, and he's like, what, a guy can't? What did he say? He's like, a guy can't enjoy himself. A guy can't unwind a little bit, yeah, or whatever it was.
I go to work. I pay my taxes. I can't have a suitcase full of cocaine.
Which is, you know, I guess that's a point worth taking under advisement. But some friend of his, it was in the New York Post, some friend claimed, and it was this sort of, it was a great thing because the friend actually claimed it with a straight face. Just said without, I mean, with no shame at all, the friend said, if you want to know why he's in the hospital, I'll tell you why he's in the hospital. He's in the hospital because he was laughing too hard and re-injured part of his hernia. He saw something amusing on the television, was laughing uproariously, and was
under the influence of a baseball-sized hunk of cocaine. I can see how the laughing.
He left that part out, but he was. But he claimed that Sheen had a hernia before, which I think is true, and that he retore part of it. So,
by the way, Justified returns next Wednesday. Woo! Returns the day after we speak to Ava Crowder.
That's right. That's how timely we are. That's how the Rick Emerson Show rolls, Don.
James Marsters, Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, wed his longtime girlfriend Patricia Rahman in Los Angeles on January 14th. It is the second marriage for Marsters, who is 48, who has a child with his first wife.
He's 48?
He is, yeah.
He was 38 when Buffy went off the air?
Yes. Yes, he was. I was always really surprised. I was so shocked when I found out how old he was after, about towards the end of Buffy, realizing how old he was.
Wait a minute. So that means he was like, 30-something when he started on that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
His
Have we examined the possibility that he is, in fact, one of the undead?
He could be. But he's 48 years old. How old do you think his new wife is?
23.
Close. 25.
All right. Well done, James Marsters. That's why you want to act, kids.
Director Peter Jackson has been released from a New Zealand hospital after undergoing surgery for a perforated ulcer. He will start production next month on his long-awaited adaptation of The Hobbit and will continue to recuperate at home. Colin Hanks and his wife, Samantha Bryant, have brought home their first child. This would be Tom Hanks' first grandchild. The family's home and everyone is happy and healthy, they said. And Ilya Salkind, the producer behind the Christopher Reeve Superman films, was declared missing in Mexico after he disappeared Sunday night, has been found alive. His friend James Buccelli had no further details, but indicated a website created for his disappearance would be updated with more information.
The information, dope.
But no, this was a guy, though. He's like, Ilya does that. He just disappears and shows back up again.
Just leaves now and again.
As was the case here. CBS has renewed NCIS for a 9th season.
Did you see that it set an all-time ratings record last week?
No, I didn't.
That's why that's not surprising, actually, because I could tell from your tone of voice that you were not necessarily enthused by that news.
No, I actually am. I only watch it sporadically, but I have been in love with Mark Harmon for, like, most of my adult life.
Ever since you saw him wrapped in a towel?
Well, I had one of my main boyfriends in my early 20s looked and spoke a great deal like Mark Harmon. So I always get a little frisson of delight when I see Mark Harmon.
To me, he's always Dr. Bobby Caldwell from St. Elsewhere. NCIS, it just celebrated. They had the highest ratings in that show's history. They had 22.9 million viewers, which in 2011, they just steamrolled everybody else, which you got to give it up to that show for being in the 9th season or going on the 9th season, and they just are crushing their competition left and right.
Yeah. And also, David McCallum is on it. He plays Ducky. The forensics guy, the autopsy guy, and I have a huge girl crush on Polly Perrette, who plays the perky goth forensics expert.
And we really are living in a sort of golden age of police procedurals. That's a thing that, you know, that is a genre that's been around for a long time, but we really, this is... I mean, you know, even leaving out things like The Wire, which sort of blows the curve. You know, if you are into cop procedural shows, this is really the best time to be a TV watcher because they are everywhere. I mean, not just here, because the American formula for police procedural has actually now been, you know, it sort of spread everywhere else. So now the BBC, you know, with things like Luther, you know, which is much closer to an American show than a British show in some ways. So this is, it's a good time to be a fan of that.
Director Steven Soderbergh was slapped with a paternity suit by Frances Lawrencina Anderson. The suit claims that Soderbergh, who is married to TV personality Jules Asner, paid for medical expenses during her pregnancy, and a DNA test revealed he was the father of her baby girl. Anderson lives in Sydney, and Soderbergh directed his play Tot Mom at a Sydney theater from December 2009 to February 2010. And finally, here in entertainment, Kristen Stewart has been offered the role of Snow White in the film Snow White and the Huntsman. The story centers on a huntsman who will be played by Viggo Mortensen, who is ordered to kill Snow White but instead frees her. The evil queen will be played by Charlize Theron.
That's fantastic casting all the way around.
Yes.
And I know that we talked about Kristen Stewart yesterday, and you said that you don't like that she just broods her way through everything.
But I can see this. I can really, really see this.
I actually, and as I said yesterday, I find that she's got a certain charisma, and I suspect... The other thing is, I was thinking about this later, I suspect that she actually can act. It's just that nobody has really made her do anything that is outside of what she just defaults to, outside of her comfort zone. Nobody's really pushed her in any way.
No, she did a decent job as Joan Jett in the movie, but there really wasn't a whole lot for her to do.
Well, no, you just had to be butch and stare, a lot. And so, you know, there was... But I think that she probably does have more talent than she's allowed to display. You know what I've had sitting at my house for some weeks now is Eclipse? Is that third one? Is that the third Twilight film?
Sure, why not? No, isn't New Moon the third one?
No, it's the second one.
Okay. I've seen all three of them, but I'll be damned if I can tell.
Twilight, New Moon, Eclipse, Breaking Dawn, which is not out yet, right?
Right.
So I got Eclipse, which is the third one, sitting there just because I'm a sort of a completist. And here's the thing. The thing about it is, like, I didn't want to see the first one. I had no desire to see the first one, and yet I did because, you know, Lara. And then I saw the second one because, you know, Lara, Cheryl, who, by the way, as we were getting ready to go into the theater to see New Moon, Lara and Cheryl forced me, just, you know, with their lady powers, to stand in front of the theater, hold a hand towel, I swear to God, that says Team Edward, for reasons that were never really made clear to me. I suspect it'll be posted somewhere online at some point in the future.
Well, terrible source material aside, eclipse is actually the best of the three.
I guess it's actually
the most competently made movie of the three. It's not a terrible movie.
Well, and I thought New Moon was actually, you know, an improvement over the first one. I mean, it was a little long, but I liked all that stuff with the weird, the whatever they are, the popes at the end, the Valturi.
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, it was. I thought it was visually very appealing as well. I liked the fact that it was all basically just crimson and gray. It looked like a Hammer film or something, kind of at the end, which was sort of great. But
yeah, but it made me want more Dakota Fanning.
That was the thing. Is like she was fantastic. And by the way, It took me forever to figure out who it was, because I'm going like, who's the creepy vampire chick? And then finally, and I think I asked that aloud in the theater. Probably, I think I was asking in escalating volume levels, and they were just ignoring me. And then finally, like somebody just hissed to me, "It's Dakota Fanning." Shh. And I couldn't, and it just blew my mind. I just, because the last time I saw her was like in Hound Dog or something when she was 12. But it's like this weird priming of the pump. Now having been forced to see the first two Twilight films, now I feel compelled to see the second two. Now I got to finish it out. So I got to watch Eclipse at some point. So maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that this weekend when I can then just take a separate day to wash off the self-loathing. Here's Don Taylor.
That's all the entertainment.
All right, there's your entertainment news for Friday, right here at Legion of News.
Fashion designer Kenneth Cole demonstrated a spectacularly ill-timed use of Twitter yesterday when they tweeted, "Millions are in uproar in Cairo. Rumor is they heard our new spring collection is now available online." And then gave the link. The comment was picked up across the Twitterverse. Users weren't amused before Kenneth Cole himself issued an apology. Re-Egypt tweet, "We weren't intending to make light of a serious situation. We understand the sensitivity of this historic moment." He followed up with a longer apology on his Facebook page, but still couldn't avoid becoming a meme. A fake Kenneth Cole Twitter account, Kenneth Cole PR, has racked up nearly 6,000 followers and features tweets like, "Parents of Hiroshima, you'll melt when you see our new kids collection."
That's fantastic.
Mashable notes that Cole has a history of saying the wrong things in times of crisis. After 9/11, he told the New York Daily News, "Important moments like this are a time to reflect, to remind us sometimes it's not only important what you wear, but it's also important to be aware."
The thing is, I sort of love that. I mean, the only misstep there is the apology. But, you know, because if you're going to be that guy, and apparently if you've got a reputation for being that guy, which he does, it seems, just be, if you're going to be the thing, be the thing.
Yeah, be the thing.
If you're going to hit a wall, hit it full speed, as they say. So, you know, what are you going to do? Here's the thing about Kenneth Cole. And I guess I figured out a few years ago that there really was a Kenneth Cole, because I think I fall into, with fashion guys, figuring that it's like Betty Crocker or something. You know, that like Kenneth Cole is, you know, that it's like some sort of it's like, is there really an Uncle Ben? You know, who knows? But there really is a Kenneth Cole. Yeah.
With fashion, I just assume there was a guy once, but he's probably not actually involved in it anymore. And that's not generally the case.
Really. I always wonder what those guys dress like, though, whether, which sounds dumb, but whether or not like Kenneth Cole just dresses like if you're Kenneth Cole, or if you're Tommy Hilfiger or something, do you just wear nothing but your own stuff? Like, does Tommy Hilfiger ever wear something from Calvin Klein?
I think a lot of designers, at least the classic designers, followed the Edith Head rule, where they would just wear nothing but black, because they didn't want to actually clash with, you know, their own, the fabrics,
right,
and the stuff that they were working with. They didn't want to visually clash with what they were doing.
Ah, they wanted to remove themselves from the equation.
Yeah, so I don't know.
The artist and the art remaining separate.
Yes,
I
exactly.
See. Okay. Updating
a story that we read at the beginning of November, just after Halloween, Matthew Naveen, 19, who was wearing a costume dressed up as a breathalyzer when he was stopped for drunk driving after leaving a Halloween party, was sentenced Wednesday to 90 days in Lancaster County Jail. In addition to his jail term, which starts Monday, the county judge revoked Naveen's driving license for 3 years and ordered him to pay $1,300 in fines. The officer who stopped Naveen's pickup said he had watery eyes and slurred speech and smelled like alcohol. Police said they found a bottle of vodka, a half-full bottle of Mountain Dew and vodka, and several cans and bottles of beer in his truck. The officer cited Naveen and took him to Cornhusker Place, which I guess there's
Is it a jail?
I guess there's a jail. This is Nebraska.
Okay.
What a police report says, his blood alcohol content tested more than twice the legal limit of 0.08% for non-minors. And so, yes, so he was found guilty of driving under the influence, et cetera. But, yes, the fellow who was arrested for a DUI while dressed as a breathalyzer.
I must be misremembering the story or conflating it with something else in my head, because when you described him as being dressed as a breathalyzer, my first thought was that he had his penis out.
No, but do you remember, though, it had the costume had the indicator, and then it had, like, there was something that if the arrow was pointed down, it was like, you know, right here, ladies.
Please blow into this tube.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. Okay, so that's,
it's
okay.
A blow here
I am remembering yeah. The right guy. It's good to know that my grasp of humanity remains flawless. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. It is time to wrap up today's episode and to turn you back to...
There he is.
Is that the guy? There we go.
Guy.
That's the guy with the tube and the pants and the thing and the hey-hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice hair on that guy, too. Yeah. Wow, way to go,
yeah,
Chester.
Yeah, it says, insert Jackass. Inside mouth, and then there's an arrow pointing to the tube that is coming from the crotch area.
Ah, the common man. Legion of News comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District here in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon, at the news desk. Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. This program available later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com, and you can also get it on your mobile device. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemersonshow.com. We will see you Monday at noon for another exciting episode of Legion of News. Until then, have a safe and satisfying weekend, won't you?